Let us read together from the Holy Word of God. You'll find it on the second page of your hymn sheets. There's two readings, and what is upon my spirit this morning is to help us, to help you in submission to the will of God, and those things that must needs be done or submitted to in this pandemic time, to submit to it for the Lord's sake. So the first reading is of our Lord's sufferings and desire to be submissive to the will of his Heavenly Father. So it's Luke 22 and from verse 39 to 46. And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me, nevertheless not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Now our second reading, which is from 1 Peter and chapter 2, verses 13 to 25. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honour all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honour the King. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults ye shall take it patiently, but if when ye do well and suffer for it ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. The two words that on my spirit were first from in Luke 22 and verse 42 Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And then just the four words in 1 Peter 2, verse 13, for the Lord's sake. And may we think of this throughout the day and those things that come upon you, for the Lord's sake. What you endure, what you go through, what you're called to suffer for the Lord's sake. We think of our Lord in the teaching of his disciples, the manner of prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. A oneness of what is done in heaven, what is done on earth, and surely where we are called to be his dear people, then we should really desire that that be fulfilled in us, that his will be done as a Christian, as a believer, that we would be as he would have us to be in all the changing scenes of life, however difficult and painful, and however much our flesh recoils from it, that the Lord give us the right spirit. And so it's with those thoughts that I bring the word before you this morning, beginning with our Lord, beginning with his submission to the cross, his Father's will, what he endured for us on Calvary's tree. But I want to now look at some of the dear saints of God and the path that they were called to walk to through. And I begin with dear Jacob. You remember Jacob so resisting sending Benjamin to go to Egypt. He didn't want to do it. He recoiled from it. He loved dear Benjamin. He lost Joseph. And, oh, he so hung back and hung back. And there might be that you can really feel for him this morning. Something that you may so hold back from, draw back from. You can't bear to let it happen, to give your assent to it, to agree to it, to let this take place. And yet people are saying to you, accept that happen, accept you agree, accept it goes forward, we can't do anything, or you can't be healed, or you can't have treatment. And you can feel for dear Jacob. Well, Jacob, he comes at last, and he comes to a place of resignation in Genesis 43 and verse 11. We read, their father Israel said unto them, that's unto the brothers, if it must be so now, do this. And it may be the Lord will bring you to this, if it must be so, and bring you, like dear Jacob, into submission to what you see now, not as what man is desiring, but what is the Lord's will for you. Think of those words, if it be so now, do this. The second one I bring before you is that of Aaron. Aaron had sons, and two sons, they were in the priesthood, Nadab and Abihu. And they took fire, strange fire, in their censers. And there came out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and we read they died before the Lord. Dear Aaron, he saw his sons die before the Lord, and no doubt before his eyes. And we read this, then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Moses saw the Lord was fulfilling his word. This was a solemn judgment upon them, and saw it as the Lord's hand. And we read just these words, and Aaron held his peace. And any of you who've had things happen in your families, or the Lord touched by the hand of death or affliction, or even in your own case, and you may see it is the Lord's hand, but you realize what grace, what help was given to dear Aaron to hold his peace at that time. And it may be you're in those things, you say, I don't know what to say, I don't know what to do. May you think of dear Aaron and all he did to fulfill the Lord's will and to do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. He held his peace. And that was the blessing of the Lord, that he could do that. The Lord help you in whatever path, in whatever pain and situation you are in, and whatever you see as the Lord's hand, a solemn hand, that you hold your peace. The third one I'll bring before you is that of Eli, and it's a very similar situation. He had his sons, two sons again, in the priesthood, and they were wicked sons, and they brought the cause of truth into disrepute. And the Lord sent one of his servants to warn Eli about them. And then the Lord raised up Samuel. And the very first time that the Lord spoke to Samuel, and he had that same message, and Samuel so feared to bring it to Eli, because it was against his house. But you know, when Samuel was able to speak and to bring the message, we read in 1 Samuel and chapter 3, and verse 18, and Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. Now this is what Eli did, how he responded. And he said, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. There's two things there. One, he recognized that it was the Lord. The Lord help you in your path, in those things that come, and what the Lord may reveal and show is the path before you. It is the Lord. Might be man speaking, and here it was Samuel speaking, but Eli says, not Samuel, it's the Lord. The Lord has appeared, the Lord has spoken. May we also be able to recognize the handiwork of the Lord. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. The changing scenes in Psalm 107, many times brought down, many times to cry unto the Lord in their trouble, but he delivered them out of their troubles. And we're to not only just see the loving kindness of the Lord in pleasant things, but understand that loving kindness in those cross-handed blessings, and even in his judgments, even in those judgments upon our own families. Whoso loveth father or mother, child more than me, not worthy of me. It's a solemn path. But what a privilege, what a blessing. Why me? Why was I made to hear his voice? Why has the Lord be pleased to bless my soul and visit my soul? And so may we speak that word that Eli did as well. Not only it is the Lord, but let him do what seemeth him good. Like the same spirit as David, when he numbered Israel, let me now fall into the hand of the Lord. Why? Because the Lord was good and gracious. He knew the Lord. You do too, don't you? You know the Lord. Has he failed you? Has he disappointed you? Has he done wrong by you at all? Or are you not able to trust him? You have trusted him through life. The Lord help you to do it now, and to lean again sweetly upon him in whatever the trial, the bitter trial, the hard thing, the thing that the flesh rises up against. The fourth one I'd bring before you is that of the Apostle Paul. He had given him by the Lord a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him. And three times he asked the Lord that this thing be removed from him. We read, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." Maybe there are those of you, and there's those things you've been praying, "Lord, do remove this. Do change this scene. Do deal with it. Do take it away. This is as a messenger of Satan." A dear friend years ago, he said, "It may not be the affliction that comes or the actual thing, but it's what Satan does with it. How he makes us to fret. How he makes us angry. How he stirs up our spirit. How he accuses us in it. When the pain is through the night season. When the troubles, the trial, it just goes on then through the day. And maybe there are those things you've cried and cried to the Lord, 'Lord, do remove it.' And you feel, 'The Lord hasn't answered my prayer.' But the Lord says to Paul, 'My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness.'" And you know, when Paul realized that, he said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." You know, from that time, I believe he was not beseeching of the Lord that this be taken away. That part of his prayer was stopped. But what he would have asked for again and again, and may we join with him, "Lord, give me grace. Give me grace to bear this trial, this pain, this affliction. Give me grace to get through this day. For the Lord's sake. For the Lord's sake, and for the peace of my soul, may I rest in thy most perfect will, and in that path appointed for me." I bring one last one before you, and that is in the little book of Philemon. In the epistle of Paul to Philemon, we have Paul writing concerning about a runaway slave. Philemon's slave, Onesimus, ran away, and he ran away to Paul. That slave, he couldn't bear to be a slave. He kicked against it, but then he comes to Paul, and Paul is the Lord's servant, not a slave, a servant, and here he is in Rome, and he is in chains, and the Lord is pleased to use that. And dear Onesimus is converted. He is to become a son. The apostle, he says, "I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to me, to thee and to me, whom I have sent again." And you know, there's nothing about Onesimus saying, "I'm not going to go back to my master. I'm not going to submit to him." The Lord made him willing. Sometimes in our lives we got to retrace our steps, haven't we? We may have been so unwilling. We've kicked against the Lord's hand. We kicked against the providence. We've run away from it. And then the Lord has brought us to be humbled before him and submissive. And we must retrace our steps. And it takes a lot of grace to retrace our steps. Dear Onesimus here, to return and willing to return. And the Lord give us that grace and submission. You might think, "Well, I've said this, I've done this, it's too late now." Is it too late? Or is it that we're able to return? Maybe something that we need to turn again and say, "Dear brother, dear sister, I'm sorry. I acted wrong. I spoke wrong. I had a wrong spirit in that." And in that there's a willingness to return. A spirit of submission for the Lord's sake. And that takes a lot of grace. And I do pray that the message this morning might be used to help you. I know you will have a nature like I have, and there's many things I struggle with and wrestle with and find very difficult to cope with, and often I have a wrong spirit. But the Word of God sets us to see the Lord and his dear people who have gone before us, the struggles that they have, like dear Jacob had, but also how the Lord gave them grace and helped them to overcome and to walk in a way that glorified his dear name. The Lord bless you, dear friends, in the same way. Residents, staff alike, use needed at this time, so difficult, when we can't meet together, you can't see all of your dear loved ones, your relatives. You feel it greatly, you must do. And I feel for you. But the Lord make his word a help this morning. For this, what the Lord has brought on our land, and in our homes, your home, and amongst us. And may you see his sweet presence and grace and help to be with you in this divine appointment. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.